This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. Now, this is episode 255. Oh, we're hitting the sequel, baby. We're going to 1963 with a little movie called From Russia with Love. We're continuing the Bond Sean Connery watch through. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Night.
Wow, we're Australian.
Come
now.
Here, Night.
Australian.
All right, Nate. Okay, I know, again, all these movies you've never seen.
Never.
But did you ever play the remake of this on Nintendo when they did the game?
No. But I remember when it came out. I never played it. I only ever played GoldenEye, really. That was my Bond game. And there was another one that was like an off Bond game. Like it wasn't related to a movie. And I played that one a little bit. But I remember when it came out and it was like Sean Connery, digital and everything. Was it good? I don't know. I mean, did you play it?
You played the movie. It was a game. It was you played the movie. They just turned it into a game and they tweaked it up a bit. But I mean, other than that, how about From Russia with Love? Did you talk to anyone that gave you anything?
So again, first of all, I thought this was the first Sean Connery one. I didn't even know it was Dr. No. I thought it was this one. The only thing that I know about this movie, this is going to be weird, but the only thing, like when I was watching it, the only thing I knew was that belly dancer, because I remember when the Steelbooks came out, that was the cover. It was like the belly dancer. I was like, they're going to go to like Morocco or something like that in this movie. And that's all I knew about it. I know Goldfinger. I know that, I know there's someone painted gold in that. Like I know screenshots. Other than that, I don't know none of these movies, honestly, man. I have no idea.
Yeah. Goldfinger is the next one. So don't worry about that. We're going to get to the Goldfinger. Yeah, Goldfinger. And that's when they introduced the songs. Because this is the first two movies that don't have an actual singer singing the song. So, with that said, let's get right into the actual review. But let's get right into the critics and audience and see what they have to say about From Russia with Love.
Well, this one's crazy, dude. This one's even higher than the last one. This one has a 97% critic score. So, a beloved Bond film from critics. Audience is also high, 84%. So both of these first two movies with Connery, very high scores.
That's very good. Actually, it's very good. And I actually like that. I'm kind of excited because the first one, we can say whatever we want about it. But I could see if I was born in 62, I could lean with the critics on the 90 something. Yeah, I would have been like, oh, this is amazing.
Probably like, holy cow, look at all this stuff. Look at all this explosions and stuff, you know?
Here's my 15 cent because we're going back to watch it again.
I'm going to go back to the Nickelodeon and check it out.
But yeah, so all right, so we got the critics, we got the audience. Yeah. All right, Nate, so let's top it all off. What did you think of the opening number?
Yeah.
With the belly dancers dancing. What do you think?
So first of all, this is the so each of these Bond movies, you know, you see them in order, it's interesting. It's interesting watching them out of order, in my opinion. Yeah. Because you see all the modern stuff, and then when you go back, you could see where they started, right? So this is the first one that has a cold open. The first movie did not have a cold open. This one does. So the first cold open Bond, From Russia with Love. That's a cool fun fact. But you're right. Again, we only have instrumental over the credits. So the instrumental was okay. I don't remember really much about it. Like the first one was more iconic to me because it was the Bond music. And then it was that Three Blind Mice song, that reggae Three Blind Mice. So, you know, this one, less memorable, but the visuals were cool. This one had the ladies where it had the names. I like how it would like their name would be there. And when they put up their leg, then you could see it good. And when they put down their leg, it's like kind of you can't see it that good. So this one fits with the rest, but the music's not memorable enough. So I'm only going to give this one a 3. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I think it was just the first movie because it was the same iconic. And then they started like throwing in some other like notes into there. And I was okay with it. I did like the whole belly dancing thing. I think you're right. This is when it first started to do the girl silhouettes and stuff. And I was like, all right, it is what it is. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty cool. John Barry, we didn't talk about the composer, the one that created the iconic first soundtrack and everything. He did a hell of a job with score. And I know we're going to talk about it within our review and stuff, but with this opening number, I agree. I'm leaning more towards 2.5 in terms of the song and stuff, but I'm gonna go with the 3, full 3 on this one. I agree with you. It's good.
But you know what's weird? There is a From Russia with Love song. It just plays on the end credits instead of the beginning. There's a guy like From Russia with Love. Like, why did they just put that on the beginning? It's weird.
I have a feeling they never thought about it until Goldfinger to bring an actual great singer into the fold and see what would happen. Right. So anyway, with that said, let's start it all off, man. Lead character, James Bond, Sean Connery.
My man Connery's back. Hairy chest and all. And I loved him again. And you know what? You know what's funny? We talked about him in the first movie. In this movie, I gave him a 5. Again, I don't think he did not take a dip in any regard, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, I think he did a little bit more action in this one, which was cool. But you know what I liked in this one? He didn't seem that creepy to me. Like, okay, I understand Bond is a ladies' man, right? With Moneypenny, it was flirtatious, but it wasn't creepy. Yeah. But in this one, like, that lady is throwing herself at James Bond. So it's not like he was doing all that weirdo stuff where he was like, you know, there's innuendo, but I feel like in this movie, the women were more the ones that were going after him,
aggressive.
Especially that lady from the first movie when they're at the picnic and she's like, oh, you ain't leaving. He's like, an hour and a half. That made me laugh. But even that, you know, that was her. So I like that. This one felt more like just this dude is just it. You know, he's just the Mac Daddy of Mac Daddies and he didn't really have to try. So I like that aspect, not creepy. But as far as the character, I liked him. I like his interactions with the female lead in this one. Their chemistry was, it was only so-so to me, honestly. But overall, I thought it was good. I like when they're on the train. All that stuff is pretty cute, you know, when they have to share the car and everything like that. But I liked his dynamic with the villain, with Robert Shaw. I loved all that. So I thought he was great. I gave him a 5.
Yeah, dude, I'm jumping on the bandwagon with you. I give it a 5. I loved him in this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a little bit more acting in this one than the first. Okay. I think they gave him more of a role in this one. I think he had a lot of comedic moments in this, and I don't know if a lot of people picked it up, but the scenes with M in 007 has to be one of the most funniest things like I've seen. And like I said, I haven't seen these movies in a while, but man, let me tell you, I was laughing when he comes in and he throws the hat. Right? And he goes, hey, Moneypenny, I got more tricks to show you. And M is standing there. And he went,
He started his flirt game and then he had to stop right away.
Yeah, he stopped. Yeah. He was like, 007, come with me. I thought that was funny. I thought even like there were certain moments that he got serious with the girl. Like he goes, you knew this guy, like when they killed his friend, he got really serious.
He smacked her?
Yo, he smacked her hard, bro. I was like, man. Like, yeah. He was like, don't lie to me. Oh, and she was like, I can't do this to you. I love you.
What do you work for? Like, yeah. Classic.
So he slapped her up. But, you know, Sean Connery, thinking about it now, Sean Connery, I think, started to, like, know what he got. Like, he was just like, okay, this is, like, I think they, like, you know how we talk about scripts and everything?
Yeah.
This has to be, for a second movie, right? Pierce Brosnan had Tomorrow Never Dies. Daniel Craig had Quantum of Solace. Yeah. Oh, man. Roger Moore. I forgot what his second movie was. But whatever it was not as good. This good one, I got to say, is the best one out of all the Bond's second ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it felt like a Bond movie. Yeah, Sean Connery, man, he did a great job in this. I was very stunned. I thought he was going to dip. He did not dip. And the fighting, oh, baby, I can't wait to talk about it because his fighting went up. His judo chop got crazy,
they hit
bro.
Them with them judo chops. I love it.
Judo chop. Yeah. But yeah, 5 across the board. All right, main villain. We're going with Robert Shaw on this one. Yeah. And my man Quinn is back, baby.
Oh, baby. He got the blonde hair. He doesn't talk the whole time till the end. Look, I loved him. I can't give him a 5, though. But let me explain myself. He was great in the fight. I love the fight on the train. You know, he loses, but still, he was formidable. So he fights Bond. You know, here, if you've listened to 250 episodes of this, you know, we always give credit when the bad guy actually fights the good guy. And he sure does. Now, he does his little sneaky, underhanded stuff. He puts the girl to sleep with the pill and the wine, right?
Obvious, too.
Yeah, exactly. Bond's like, what did you put in the wine? Why didn't he ask at the time? Why did he let her drink it? he could have stopped her, but he's like, I'm going to let her go to sleep. That was after he smacked her, so maybe he was still mad at her. So then they go in the train room and they're talking and there's a nice conversation and then he figures it out. He's like, wait a second, something's not right here. And then they fight and it's awesome. It's like a little fight in this little train car. And you know, this is 60s fighting. So you're not getting like Bruce Lee choreographed stuff, but you know what? They're rolling around. Like it looks like it looks more like a real life fight if two guys were fighting in the street than movie fights usually do. You know, movie fights are totally outrageous. So that was cool. But he's not in the movie for like almost all of the movie. Yeah. And that's the only reason I give him a 4. I thought he was so good that in his 15 minutes of screen time, I still gave him a 4. If this guy was through, like he is throughout, but he'll be like looking through a window or like, you know, like he like close the shades and doing that kind of stuff. If he was like really messing with Bond the whole time, you know what I mean? You know what I was thinking of? If he was like the villain from the first Indiana Jones from Raiders, who like mad parts throughout the movie, he's popping up to like ruin stuff.
If he did that,
I would give him a 5. If he just kept like popping up and messing him up, but he didn't. He just waited and waited and waited, and they fight, and then he dies. So it's like, but I still loved him, and he looked cool. He looked cool, and unlike Jaws, I could understand what he was saying in this movie. So bonus points for Robert Shaw for me being able to understand his words. 4 out of 5. I thought he was great.
Yeah, Robert Shaw played his character is called Red Grant. Yeah, that was his character. Red Grant. And then the girl's name, her name is Talia. Tanya was her short name. Romanova. Something like that. Yeah, something. But anyway, I call it Tanya because I think that's what they call the short Tanya. Yeah. Yeah. So Red Grant, Robert Shaw, I liked him a lot. I liked him. He is a very, you know, it's funny. Like, when you think of Bond henchmans, everyone thinks of Odd Job, right? Yeah. Throwing the hat. So everyone thinks of those things. But Robert Shaw got to be up there, man. Like, really thinking about it, like, he was really good. I mean, it took, what's her name? What was the name of the lady from Austin Power that screams all over the place?
Oh, what's her name? Fraulein Farbissina or something.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Isn't that the lady from this movie?
I think that's who she's modeled off of.
Yeah, because
her little nice shoe. When
she kicking.
She's trying to kick him.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked when she punched him in the stomach and she was like, he's good enough. Let's go send him out to Budapest.
That was funny. She put on brass knuckles. She punched him so hard, he didn't even move.
Yeah, she hit him mad hard. She was like, he's as good enough. Let's send him out to Budapest.
I forgot that part was hilarious.
Or Morocco. Yeah, that was pretty good. But, yo, there was some scenes, though. I don't know if you thought about it, though. There was some scenes with Robert Shaw, though, that I thought it was shot very well. When Bond was next to the train and you see him walking through the carts, I would say that was like a genius shot. Whoever thought of that. Because I was like, yo, it looked really like very like evil doer shit. Like he would just.
And then he's in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, dude, it was so genius. I was like, man, I was like, that was a hot scene. And I know. And again, it's a simple. He was walking behind, but it looks so like diabolical. Like you don't know if he's going to shoot him. Like he could assassinate him right there. But he didn't. And I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. I liked, I'm trying to think like other scene, like the fight scene between him and Robert Shaw, Red Grant. I thought it was good. I thought it was, but I thought the way he died was kind of weak.
Yes. That's why he doesn't get a 5, too.
Yeah. I thought his death scene was kind of weak. Like he died with his own like thing with the gadget in his watch. Like, to choke you out, which I was like, all right. I mean, it is what it is.
That was funny, too, at the beginning. When he chokes the guy and you think it's Bond and then it has a mask. And when they take the mask off, it looks nothing how like it looked when it was on the guy's face. Hilarious.
Well, what was cool, though, I don't know if you noticed because you watched it the same as me, the Blu-ray digital. Yeah. Did you see when they showed Sean Connery close up in the scene in the beginning? Mm-hmm. He had tons of makeup on.
Yeah.
To allude that it was fake. Yeah. It gave you like that illusion like, okay, this is not Sean Connery, if you're one of those snobs that look at the guy's face, but you could see it was kind of off a bit. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay. I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, Robert Shaw, excellent henchman. I totally forgot about this character, but this guy was good. All right, action scenes.
What was your score?
Oh, I gave it a 4. I thought he was great. Yeah, I don't think, I mean, he could have got a perfect, I mean, I could have given him more. I mean, he was throughout the movie, though. I mean, he saved Bond.
But he needed more, like, he needed more screen time. Yeah, and he needed more of a purpose besides he was a hired gun.
Prospector.
Yeah, but besides that, there wasn't nothing about a backstory. There wasn't, you know, a little more for the
I think if they would have showed him killing his friend, could have been better.
Something. And then planting it. Him telling a story.
Yeah, planting it.
Yeah.
I think that could have worked. Yeah. All right. Well, I gave it a 4. I mean, a 4 across the board. All right, what do you give action scene?
All right. So the action scenes was better in this one. I think I gave the first one a 3. They were better in this one. And this was only like 1 or 2 years later. And there's way more action in this movie. And it's, again, it's shot well, especially, you know, we have to consider the time this was made. This was the early 60s, early to mid 60s. So that being said, you get some good fight scenes. Sean Connery, judo chopping everybody, like Michael Caine from Austin Powers. See, that's the thing. When I watch these movies, all I think of is Austin Powers stuff because I have seen those and I have never seen these. But still, it works. It was good. Yeah, you get explosions, you get guns, you get fist fights. You know, you get chases, you get there's a boat chase. How many boat chases are there? We need to go back and count how many Bond movies have boat chases.
Well, Roger Moore took the cake because every movie was a boat chase.
He had 7 boat chases.
Yeah, 7 boat chases.
Also, Pierce Brosnan, special award for Pierce Brosnan for driving his boat on the land. Because that was it goes through the land at that one point, like skiing over the earth. And also, there was a hovercraft in that one.
Roger Moore did the same thing too, remember?
Yeah, but his was like a car. It was like a car boat. Pierce Brosnan just drove a regular boat on the land. Either way. So there's just tons of boats in these Bond movies, but I gave the action a 4. I thought it was superior to the first one. It's still not a 5 for me. I will have to be like, I would have, for me to give a 5 to one of these old 60s ones, I would have to be like so impressed with something they pulled off that I can't. I like the helicopter scene. That was funny when the helicopter was like swooping down to get him. It just keeps swooping down and swooping down. And then he shoots it and it blows up. The guy drops the grenade and it blows up. Like, it was good. 4.
I agree. I mean, I went with the 4 too. You know, it's kind of hard with these type of movies because we don't have this type of action, you know, stunts and everything. But what I like, it is practical. And I thought it was very well done all over the place. I love when all the gang people started fighting when the two chicks was going to kill each other over that one guy.
I thought
that was pretty cool. Gypsies? I was like, all right, yeah, they were all shooting and everything. I thought it was cool. But remember when they shot his friend, his best friend, he put the packet of blood.
Oh, yeah.
You see it? Ugh. And he smears it. Yeah, he's like, and I was just like, oh, God. So that was pretty funny. But I like when the guy was trying to escape from the mouth and he sniped him and he went, duh, and then he fell off.
Oh, yeah.
He should have kept the mouth open.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cool. I like the train scene was pretty cool. The boat scene is iconic boat scene. I mean, again, 007 is known for 2 things. Skiing, action, and then boat chases, I assume.
Boat
and scenes. Then, of course, you got the typical cars and motorcycles and aerial and all that. But I think skiing and boating chases are more that. But he had those gallons of fire, and you set him. He was setting him up. I was like, all right, that's pretty badass the way he did all
shoot
that.
Shoot you with the flare. It starts blowing up like crazy. Awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. You're right. It wasn't as much action, but this one had enough. And this is the first time they introduced Q Branch and the gadgets. And I was just like, wow. And he still looked the same since the world's not enough.
Like, I've been old his whole life.
Yeah. But what the coolest is, I mean, we'll go through it towards the end. Maybe I'll get some fun facts. But there's a lot of the old guys that you're watching now show up 2017 films or whatever.
Ooh.
Like, especially Q is the same Q. Moneypenny is the same Moneypenny until they replace her. And then Bernard Hall, the guy who plays M?
Yeah.
He's there for a while, and then they replace him, and then they bring him back again. I wanted to ask you something before we go to the story.
Yeah.
Remember the when they were Inspector Island, right? Remember the guy that had the leather jacket? He was the Russian.
Guy with the leather jacket. On the
he had that Russian accent. He came in with the girl, Frau Burmisma, whatever her name is.
The other guy? The other guy. The one who, like, blamed her for everything?
No, the other guy.
Oh, the big guy?
Yeah, the big dude. That's the general in all the Bond movies.
If you
notice, if you de-age him, you go, oh, shit, I saw him in GoldenEye, or I saw him in... Oh, he's the one in Roger Moore when you go, oh, my God, that is the same dude. It is the... Well, now when I talk... You know what? I'll talk about his storyline, because honestly, I think it's the same storyline as one movie that we did, and you're going to go, dude, you're absolutely right, but I'm not going to say it. But anyway, 4 across the board on action, storyline.
Well, okay. To me, this one still... It still suffers from the... something the first movie suffered from, which is in the middle part of these movies, I always forget what the heck they're trying to do. Like, I don't know why. I'd be wide awake when I watch these movies. I'm not tired. I'm not sleepy. Nothing. And I always get a little bit lost in the middle. And I forget what they're trying to do, and they get convoluted. So you got Bond, he gets sent on, first of all, in the cold open, you think he gets killed and it's not him, right? Then it comes to Bond, he throws his hat, he got like a sitcom opening. Now he throws his hat on the thing every time. He did in the first movie, he did in this one. It's funny, it's like Dick Van Dyke. Then he gets sent to retrieve, what is that thing they have to get? It's a
Soviet encryption.
It's a thing box. That is a thing. You know what I mean? Like the Bond movies, they're notorious for just having them go after things. So it's this thing that he has to get. And then Spectre poses as KGB or whatever, recruit the other Russian girl. She thinks she's working for the KGB. She's really working for Spectre. Then she's got to work with Bond. And then they fall in love. And then by the time all this stuff happens, I'm like, what? What are they looking for again? And where is it? And who has it? And why? And so I don't know what it is. I think this movie's better overall, but the story for me is still just kind of, I don't know. I don't love it. I gave it a 3. I do think it's good. I think it's solid, but I just get confused. Every time I get confused, I'm waiting for the one that's just very like linear and I know what's going on the whole time so I can give it something more. But for me, it was a 3.
Yeah, and this one, I disagree a little bit. This
maybe
one, I kind of
knew what was going on.
Yeah, I knew from the beginning. Once they talked about the decryption box, I was like, okay, I guess this is the entire thing. So I gave it a 4. I thought it was a great storyline. It wasn't as Dr. No, where you found out halfway through the movie and then you're going, oh, okay.
True.
And you still lost with that because they didn't even show nothing. Yeah. But with this one, you kind of, he got the device and you're going, okay. The problem that I have with that, I did not give it a perfect. This is the same plot as the Roger Moore movie that he had the decryption box, remember? with the ski girl that fell in love with him, that she was like mad young and she wanted to bone him. Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And he threw the box.
Yeah.
That general is the same general for Spectre. He's just 10 times younger. It's like 30 years younger.
Of this movie.
It's the copycat of this one. So when I was looking, I was like, wait a minute. And it was like the Soviet inscription box. I said, this shit sounded familiar. And when they showed the box, it's the same box that Roger Moore threw in the thing. And I said, wait a minute. I said, this is the movie that we laughed at because it made no damn sense. But at least this one, this one was more of the plot. Like that was the sense where Roger Moore, that one was not as much of the plot that you thought. But again, I liked it in this one. Robert Shaw wanted to get the box. So he had his goals and everything. And I think Spectre had a good plot. I was like, okay, this is pretty good. They were trying to get this one box. And again, 007 was in the middle of an assassination plot. That's pretty much what it was. Yeah. He was in the middle of it. And they used him to get the box because they knew they could get him. Yeah. So I liked it. I said, okay, that is pretty cool. But in the second hand, it's like, damn, this is the same shit that I saw freaking 50 years later with the Roger Moore. So it's actually pretty funny how they recycle the movie. Yeah. And again, I believe they used the same technique with the girl, the Russian spy girl.
Yeah.
And they used her to get to Bond. And it was the same thing. It was pretty much the same
story. She falls in love with him.
And she falls. She goes, James, I love you. I don't know why, but I love you.
He forgets about his girlfriend from the picnic from earlier.
Yeah.
Screw her.
But I'm not going to lie to you. This girl, Natalia, whatever her name is, Tanya, she was gorgeous. She was beautiful. Like, I was like, compared to the girl in the first movie, I was like, she is way better looking. I was like, she was actually a very beautiful, like, Bond girl. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really think about it, I think you had the one in the beach, one that she's the first one of all the Bond girls.
Ursula Andress.
Yeah, I think this one is the best, the second one. But I think she looked better, too. I thought she was pretty good. But yeah, I mean, in terms of storyline, I kind of understood what was going on. So I was not lost. It was a description box. So it was actually pretty cool. All right, I gave it a 4. You gave it a 3 overall.
Yeah. I do agree with one aspect with you, though, as far as the story, as far as the bad guy, Spectre. I like their idea of using two people to go for the same thing just in case one don't work out. Right, they can get it from the girl. But if she don't get it, we got Robert Shaw here to make sure. It's like a double. Overall, though, I gave this one a 4. I like this one better than Dr. No. I thought it was more fun. I thought it was more entertaining. It's a little bit longer, but it doesn't really feel any longer. It feels the same or shorter. Like, it was really good, entertaining. Looks great. Good visuals. Direction was good. Score was good. Characters are good. You know, even if I was a little bit confused with the overall plot, I get the beginning, I get the end. It was just in the middle where I was like, plus I think sometimes the Bond movies stray a little bit from the main story and they do like a lot of side stuff. But either way, I thought this one was a lot of fun. Connery was great. Robert Shaw was great. And yeah, I thought it was a very entertaining movie. I mean, is it my favorite one ever? No, but is it my favorite Sean Connery so far?
Yes.
I mean, we've only done two, but this is my favorite one. So now the bar is this one until I watch the next one. Four.
Yeah, I mean, I like this one a lot. I'm not going to give it a perfect five. I don't think it's a perfect five. I gave it a four, but I think this is one of the best ones I see. Well, I'm not talking about like, I mean, this is the first one than Dr. No. I think this is a way better movie than Dr. No, yeah. Hands down. But the other one is just so legendary because it kicked off everything.
Right.
In terms of like all the other Bond movies, I think this one is way up there in terms of like, you felt like you were watching a spy movie with this one. I was just like, okay, It just felt, it wasn't boring. I thought it was good. Not as bad. I liked it a lot. And the theme song was all over the place and I loved it. Not as much used though, if you notice.
No.
Not as much used, which I thought was pretty interesting.
But used in the right
spots. Yeah. There was pinpoint spots. Yeah. It wasn't overblown like the other one. Mm-hmm. It was like he picked up a cup and it was like, so I was just like, okay. Yeah. I gave it a four. I think it's a solid movie and I think it's really good and I think mm-hmm. it holds up. The 4K looks outstanding. Does not sound as good, but again, once they do all the upgrades and everything, but yeah, the 4K looks stunning digitally. So, all right, Nate, total points.
Total points for me is a 20 out of a 25. Ooh. A very good film. I didn't hate Dr. No. I thought it was fine. This one I liked, like I legitimately liked. So far, Sean Connery Bonds, off to a solid start. I'm enjoying them. 20 out of 25.
Mine's is a 21, 1 point higher than you. 21 out of a 25. I think this is solid, but I think to me, it starts to go up from here. Ooh. Because GoldenEye, when I remember GoldenEye, Goldfinger,
yeah.
I remember lines from Goldfinger. I'm not going to say it now, okay. But there's some lines in Goldfinger that is very memorable. And I think once you hear it, you're going to go, okay, I heard this before somewhere. So yeah, I'm looking forward to next week for Goldfinger. But yeah. Other than that, let everyone know what's coming up next.
All right. So with our double spy movie month, pretty much, because we're doing Bonds and we're doing other spy movies, our next one is going to be a Marvel movie, only the fifth MCU movie that we've done, and three of them were Spider-Man's. So this is really, to me, only the second one, because Black Panther is the only one we did.
Yeah, Black Panther,
now Black Widow. So if it's got a Spider-Man or Black in the title, we're reviewing it. So we're going to be doing some Black Widow, which is a spy movie, pretty much. So yeah. We'll be doing that. And then next week, the next Bond film is going to be Goldfinger. Finally get to see it. I'm very excited. I've never seen it. I want to hear that song. I want to see that gold dead lady or whatever she is, or sleeping. I don't know what she's doing. I'm excited, yeah. Because I think of Goldmember from Austin Powers. So I want to see Goldfinger because
yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one the most.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good one. I remember he got the golden touch. Bum, bum.
I don't know the rest. I only know that part. Much.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Gold. I think she's a singer that sings, and I think Diamonds Are Forever, too. She's the one that sings Diamonds Are Forever, too.
Okay. I know that song, Diamonds too, because Kanye West. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, yeah. So she sings that song, I believe, and then she sings Goldeneye. I mean, Goldfinger. Well, I said Goldeneye with Tina Turner.
Goldfinger.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the golden touch. Why? I always know that part for some damn reason. But anyway, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, head over to Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast, or head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out. We'll be right back.